Only one.
Only one.
Eva.
Eva.
Pura.
Pura.
Formerly.
Formerly.
Veda.
Veda.
Book of Transcendental Knowledge.
Book of Transcendental Knowledge.
Pranavaha.
Omkara.
Sarvatmayaka. Consisting of all Vedic mantras. Devaha, the Lord God. Narayana,
only Narayana,
was worshipable in the Satya Yuga. Na anyaha, no other. Eka Agnehi, one division only for Agni. Varnaha, order of life. Evacha, and certainly. So translation. In the Satya Yuga, the first millennium, all the Vedic mantras were included in one mantra, Pranava, the root of all Vedic mantras. In other words, the Atharva Veda alone was the source of all Vedic knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, was the only worshipable deity. There was no recommendation for worship of the demigods. Fire was one only, and the only order of life in human society was known as Pungsala. To repeat, in the Satya Yuga,
in
the first millennium, all the Vedic mantras were included in one mantra, Pranava. The root of all Vedic mantras. In other words, the Atharva Veda alone was the source of all Vedic knowledge. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana was the only worshipable deity. And there was no recommendation for worship of the demigods. Fire was one only. And the only order of life in human society was known as Hung Sa. That means swan, actually. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Satya Yuga, there was only one Veda, not four. Later, before the beginning of Kali Yuga, this one Veda, the Atharva Veda, or some say the Yajurveda, was divided into four, Samayajur, Rig, and Atharva, for the facility of human society. In Satya Yuga, the only mantra was Omkara, Om Tat Sat. The same name, Omkara, is manifest in the mantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Unless one is a Brahmin, one cannot utter Omkara and get the desired result. But in Kali Yuga, almost everyone is a Shudra, unfit for pronouncing the Pranava, Omkara. Therefore, the Shastras have recommended the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Omkara is a mantra or Maha Mantra, and Hare Krishna is also a Maha Mantra. The purpose of pronouncing Omkara is to address the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And the purpose of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the same. Hare, O energy of the Lord. Krishna, O Lord Krishna. Hare, O energy of the Lord. Rama, O Supreme Lord, O Supreme Enjoyer. So, just one. Mentioned some as we go through the purport. That's all these three words in the Maha Mantra are in the vocative. That's why Prabhupada is translating as O, energy of the Lord. O, Supreme Lord. O, Supreme Enjoyer. You understand? That's the vocative form. Vocative means to cry out. Just like Prabhupada said, when you're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you should be crying out like a child for the mother. It was like last night we had one of the mothers visiting us with a child, and the child was crying out. I was going to record it to dissuade people from taking
household or wife. It was pretty intense. The only worshipful Lord is Hari, who is the goal of the Vedas. By worshipping the demigods, one worships the different parts of the Lord, just as one might water the branches and twigs of a tree. By worshipping Narayana, the all-inclusive Supreme Personality, Godhead, is like pouring water on the root of the tree, thus supplying water to the trunk, branches, twigs, leaves, and so on. In Satya-yuga, people knew how to fulfill the necessities of life simply by worshipping Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The same purpose can be served in this age of Kali by the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra as recommended in the Bhagavatam. Kirtanam eva Krishnasya muktasandha param vajet. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one becomes free from the bondage of material existence and thus becomes eligible to return home back to Godhead. So, Sanskrit. Eka hish eva pura veda pranavasar vavam mayaha devo narayano nankhya ikok nirvarna eva cha. Om Ganatananda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tesmai Shikadeva Maha. So, of course, people were more intelligent, more qualified in the Satya Yuga. Oh. There's a baby. So, let's keep with the baby. Anyway, so, people are more intelligent in the Satya Yuga, more qualified in many different ways. They have perfect memories. So it's a completely different situation than we have nowadays. And of course, Srila Vyasadeva, understanding the situation of people in Kali Yuga, he was the one who divided the Vedas. Of course, the word Vyas means to divide. It's two words, Samas and Vyas. So Vyas is considered to be the compiler of the Vedic literatures. Of course, the author of the Vedic literatures is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Vedic literatures, the Vedic information, they emanate from the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in a strict sense, you can't really say Vyasa is the author. Of course, he's the author, but he's not the originator of the Vedic literatures. He's the compiler. He's divided the four Vedas, the one Veda into four Vedas, and then after that, he compiled different other literatures, like the Upanishads. He compiled the Itihasas, that means the histories, and he also compiled the Puranas. And of course, as we mentioned many times before, in the Rig Veda, it is mentioned, Rig Veda is considered one of the original Vedas. Here it is mentioned, the Atharva Veda is sometimes considered as original, and sometimes the Yajur Veda. But these Vedas are the older Vedas. So in the Rig Veda, it is stated, Omtai Vishnu Param Pada Pashanti Hat Surya, that all the demigods are looking to Vishnu. Now, primarily in the Rig Veda and in the older Vedas, you have the worship of the demigods. I mean, most of the hymns in the Rig Veda are dedicated to demigods. So one can get very confused and say, well, there's many, many gods in the Rig Veda, although you do have that verse, Om Tad Vishnu Padalam Pada Pashatiya Surya. So one interesting way of answering that misunderstanding that people have that there are many gods, or we should worship the demigods, just because of the number of verses, is that you could compare the situation to the government in the United States, and I'm not talking politics in a negative way right now, but let's say the government in general, that most of us, when we're interacting with the government, don't interact with the highest level of the government. Most of us, when we're interacting with the government, interact on the lower levels, right? Like if you have to get a driver's license, do you go to the president of the United States? Oh, no. And if you have to get you know, any sort of permit for a parade, for a Hare Krishna parade, you know, for Radha Yatra, you don't go to the president, you don't even go to the governor. You go to someone who's on a very low level. So therefore, the majority of interactions, the majority of petitions that we have, just on a practical basis, I mean, just fixing the temple here, we didn't go to the mayor, even, what to speak of the president of the United States, we just went to, you know, Orange County, a building and permits department. The majority of interactions are always on the lower level. That doesn't mean the lower level is the absolute truth, or the lower level in the case, they're the actual controllers, so we should worship the lower level. It doesn't also indicate we should worship the president either. That would be a bad thing. So, but generally, that's why most of the verses in the four ways are actually dealing with the demigods. And dealing with the modes of nature too, you know, Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Nis Trigunya Bhavarjana, Nir Dwanbo, Nitsapasto, Nishyogik Shema Bhavan, as Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, that the Vedas mainly deal with the modes of nature. The reason they deal with the modes of nature is most people are in the modes of nature. Most people in Kali Yuga, most people are not transcendental. They're interested in something mundane, so they need gradual steps to come to the transcendental platform. So that's why Vyasadeva compiled or expanded the Vedic literatures for that purpose, for the purpose of helping people. And, you know, finally, of course, we know he, not finally, but at one step, he did compile the Mahabharat. And even people were so confused after reading the Mahabharat that he was dissatisfied and the spiritual master chastised them for confusing people, and then he had, finally had to compile the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very explicit. I mean, I don't think anybody who reads the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course some people may be completely mogasya, mogadha, karmano, mogadhyana, vichesa, they may be so bewildered by Krishna's illusory energy, but in general, anybody with a clear mind who reads the Bhagavatam will understand it's a text on bhakti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. I mean, if, at least if you go to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll understand these things. It's very explicit. They take chance of Galatpramsa. Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. I mean, there's nothing left to the imagination. Mahabharat leaves a lot to the imagination. You know, who's God? Or even the Ramayana, sometimes you can get confused because you have Lord Ram. When he wants to cross the ocean, who does he worship? He worships Lord Shiva. Therefore, you have Rameshwaram. Of course, there's two ways to understand that. Rama, who worships Lord Shiva as Ishvara, or Rama, who is the Ishvara of Lord Shiva. I mean, there's two ways of pronouncing that. So even you read the Ramayana, you think, oh, Lord Shiva's up there, and he's, you know, he's basically empowering Lord Rama. Of course, obviously, Rama is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but people get very confused with these things. So the Bhagavatam is there to clear up the confusion. And so let's talk about little chant. Let's talk a little bit about chanting Omkara. Because I remember, before I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, people were talking about how Omkara was the impersonal Om. Even in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, some people misunderstand. They say, if someone chants Om, they say, why are you an impersonalist? Why are you chanting an impersonal mantra? It's not an impersonal mantra or a Mayavadi mantra. And actually the Mayavadis, and we're going to refer here to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adilila, in the discussion that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with Prakashananda Saraswati, the Mayavadis in Benares. So the Mayavadi is actually considered many mantras other than the Omkara to be the primary or Mahavakya. Mahavakya means the great talk or the great mantra in the Vedic literatures. And the Mayavadis, for example, Shankaracharya, he considers the primary mantra in the Vedic literatures to be Tatvamasi. Tatvamasi means you are that. And of course, that's not wrong. We are that. We are what? Spirit souls. you know, Nitya, Nityanam, Chaitanya, Chaitanyanam, Eko, Bhavanam, Yogadadadikama. That means there are many plural eternals, but there's one supreme eternal, and that supreme eternal is maintaining all the plural eternals. So we are that. We do have the same qualities as the Lord, but not the same quantity. And there's other mantras that they consider to be primary, like Aham Brahmasmi, which is true. I mean, that's a mantra there, but it's not a Mahavakya. Aham Brahmasmi means you are Brahman. You are spirit. So, in this particular section of the Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Omkara is described in great detail. And I'll read. This is 128 in the seventh chapter of Adi Lila. Yeah. And this is, it's a very long purport, but this is probably its most complete explanation of what Omkara is, if anyone's interested. It is actually a Krishna conscious mantra. Of course, as Prabhupada comments in the purport, that one really, to chant the Vedic vibration, Omkara, properly, one has to be situated, initiated, a Brahman in the mode of goodness. Just like we talk about the Gayatri mantras. You know, those of you who have second initiation have taken the Gayatri mantras, the seven Gayatri mantras. We chant the mantras in the asanjas, three sanjas, three times a day. And I remember when we first got the Gayatri mantra from Prabhupada, you get this paper, and of course we still give out that paper today. It says, don't show this paper to anyone else who's not initiated. So I was thinking it's a secret mantra. And anybody who chants it, you know, they'll get I guess the demons will attack them or something. You know, he had all these different ideas. But the point is, in order to chant those mantras effectively, one could read about the guided mantras if you're interested, even if you're not initiated. So many books have been published. Satchidananda Maharaj published one book about the Gayatri mantras. So once you get the mantras, but it won't be effective unless you're initiated. And you also have to be in the mode of goodness, at least while you're chanting. You have to cultivate the mode of goodness. I mean, so there's prerequisites for chanting Om. The point I'm making is there's a prerequisite for chanting Omkara effectively. With the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, there are no prerequisites. Anyone, everywhere. What is that? Nam Nama Kari Vahoda Nitrasara Chakjis. That you've invested your holy name in the, you invested your transcendental potencies in your holy name. And Niyamena Tishtam. There's no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna. In other words, we don't wait for the sanjas to chant Hare Krishna. Let's say if you don't finish your round before, 8 o'clock in the morning, then it's not that you can't chant and you have to wait till noon or you have to wait till the evening to chant. You can chant at any time. You can chant, just like I travel by airplane. I chant while I'm sitting in an airplane next to people who are not so Krishna conscious. That's interesting, not so Krishna conscious. You could chant anywhere and everywhere. When we were on traveling Sankirtan, we used to chant our rounds in the bathrooms of the KOAs. In case you don't know what that is. It's a campground of America. Because that was the only warm place, and we were distributing Srila Prabhupada's books around Chicago, Illinois, and it was like so cold, it was unbelievable. So we had to have a warm place to chant. So anyway, so let me read some of this because I didn't want to simply speak. The translation is the Vedic sound, vibration, Omkara, the principal word in the Vedic literatures. In fact, all the mantras begin with Om, the Vedic mantras, is the basis of all Vedic vibrations. Therefore, one should accept Omkara as the sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the reservoir of the cosmic manifestation. That's so powerful. So powerful. It's the principal word, I'm just going to reiterate, it's the principal word in the Vedic literatures. It's the sound representation of the Lord, and it's the reservoir of the whole cosmic manifestation. Wow. It's not impersonal. So in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, Prabhupada here quotes in his purport from Bhagavad Gita 8.13. Om is mentioned actually twice, not only in this verse. So I'll read this. Om it yakaksaram rama vyaharan mam anusmaran yavre prayati chasam deham sayati paramam gatim. That this verse indicates that Omkara Pranava is the direct representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, at the time of death, because the 8th chapter deals with attaining the Supreme, or what happens at the time of death, you know, yam yam vati smaran bhavam yashatayanti toyavaram. One simply remembers Omkara, he remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is immediately, therefore, transferred to the spiritual world. Very powerful. And of course, the other verse in the Gita is Pranava Sabadeva Shu Shabda Ke Purusham Rushu. I am the Om. Krishna is the Om in the Vedic literatures. And also the Sandra Vishnu either, Shabda Ke Purusham Rushu. Omkara is the basic principle of all Vedic mantras for his representation of Lord Krishna, understanding of whom is the ultimate goal of the Vedas as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand these simple facts explained in the Bhagavad Gita, yet they are very proud of being Vedantis. Here Prabhupada says something very humorous. Sometimes, therefore, we refer to the Vedanti philosophers as Vidantis, those who have no teeth. You could try that sometimes. Someone says, I'm a Vedantist. It's a New York, you're Vedanti. Yeah, Vedanti. You have to pronounce it a little bit different. So V means without, and Danti means possessing teeth. Just like in India, there's a toothpaste called lightning teeth or something. What is the name of that toothpaste like? Vajra Dant.
Oh, that's Vico.
Dante. Yeah, Vajra Dant. Vajra means lightning bolt teeth. So, the statements of the Shankara philosophy, which are the teeth of the Mayavadi philosopher, are always broken by the strong arguments of Vaishnava philosophers, such as great acharyas, especially Ramanujacharya, Sripad Ramanujacharya, and Madhvacharya, break the teeth of the Mayavadi philosophers, who can therefore be called Vedantis, toothless. As mentioned above, the transcendental vibration, Omkara, is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 13, which we quoted before. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable alone, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. If one actually understands that Omkara is the sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether he chants Omkara or the Hare Krishna mantra, the result is certainly the same. We're not going to have a lot of time to read this whole thing. I'm going to... Is it? Yeah, I'm going ahead to the middle of the report. One should not, however, foolishly conclude that because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is omnipotent, we have manufactured a combination of letters A, U, and N to represent him. Factually, the transcendental sound Omkara, although a combination of the three letters A, U, and N, has transcendental potency, and one who chants Omkara will very soon realize Omkara and Lord Vishnu to be non-different. Krishna declares, and this is a verse I quoted before, Pranava Sarvaveda Shu, I am the syllable Om in the Vedic literatures, Vedic mantras. One should therefore conclude that among the many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Omkara is the sound incarnation. All the Vedas accept this thesis. One should always remember that the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are always identical. Abhidhana Dvam Namanamino. That's right, verse Namachintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Pingra, Purna Shiva Nichin Mukto, Abhinavam Namanamana. Since Omkara is the basic principle of all Vedic knowledge, it is uttered before one begins to chant any Vedic hymn. Without Omkara, no Vedic mantra is successful. The Goswamis therefore declare that Pranava Omkara is the complete representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they have analyzed Omkara in terms of its alphabetical constituents. This is very interesting. As follows. A Kareno Chite Krishna Sarva Lokaika Nayakaha. U Kareno Chite Radha Makaro Jiva Vachakaha. And this is what that verse says. Omkara is a combination of the letters A, U, and M. A Kareno Chite Krishna, the letter A, Omkara, refers to Krishna, who is Sarva Lokaika Nayakaha, the master of all living entities and planets, material and spiritual. Nayaka means leader. He is the supreme leader, Nicho Nichanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. That's why I already quoted. The letter U, Kara, indicates Shimati Radha Rani, the pleasure potency of Krishna. And Ma Kara indicates the living entity's jiva. Thus Om, is the complete combination of Krishna, his potency, and eternal servitors. In other words, Omkara represents Krishna, his name, fame, pastimes, entourage, expansions, devotees, potencies, and everything else pertaining to him. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in the present verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sarva Vishwadhamma Omkara. Vishwadhamma. Omkara is the resting place of everything, just as Krishna is the resting place of everything. Ramano hi pratishtaham. That verse is from the Bhagavad Gita. And that verse states that Krishna is the source of the Brahman effulgence. That's one of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita that basically defeats the Mayavada philosophy. Brahmano pratishtam. It's a very important verse for everyone to remember. The Mayavadi philosophers consider many Vedic mantras to be the Mahavagya, and this is what I mentioned before. Principal Vedic mantras such as Tatvamasi, Chandogya, Upanishad, Idam Sarvam Yad Ayam Atma, and Brahmaidam Sarvam, that's Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, Admaidam Sarvam, Chandogya Upanishad, and it probably goes through the whole list. Only Omkara is the Mahavakya. All these other mantras that the Mayavadis accept as the Mahavakya are only incidental. They cannot be taken as the Mahavakya or a Mahamantra. In other words, Omkara is also Mahamantra. The mantra Tatvam Asi indicates only a partial understanding of the Vedas, unlike Omkara, which represents the full understanding of the Vedas. There's another explanation of Omkara. The full understanding of the Vedas. Therefore, the transcendental sound that includes all Vedic knowledge is Omkara. The basis of all the Upanishads, I'm skipping back, Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī says that Omkara is the supreme absolute truth and is accepted as such by all the acharyas and authorities. Omkara is beginningless, changeless, supreme, and free from deterioration and external contamination. Omkara is the origin, middle, and end of everything. And any living entity who thus understands Omkara attains the perfection of spiritual identity in Omkara. Omkara, being situated in everyone's heart, is Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 1861, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Radesha Arjunatishati. Omkara is as good as Vishnu because Omkara is as all-pervasive as Vishnu. One who knows Omkara and Lord Vishnu to be identical no longer has to lament or hanker. One who chants Omkara no longer remains a Shudra, but immediately comes to the position of Brahman. Simply, I'm not trying to encourage everyone to give up chanting Hare Krishna. They're just oming their way around. That's not the point. Because Hare Krishna is non-different, and actually that's Lord Chaitanya's special manifestation of Omkara for us in Kali Yuga. In fact, it's more important and more powerful than Omkara because it's the Hare Krishna mantra is the prayer for service. We, like we mentioned before, the three words in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna and Ram, are all vocative. Please, my Lord, let me serve you. Please, my Lord's internal potency, put me under your jurisdiction so I can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply by chanting Omkara, one can understand the whole creation to be one unit or an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Idami Vishwam Bhagavan Vetarod Ayato Jagatstana Nirodha Sambhava. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is Himself the cosmos, and He is still, and still is aloof from it. From Him only this cosmic manifestation is emanated, in Him it rests, and into Him it enters after annihilation. That's from the Bhagavatam. Although one who does not understand concludes otherwise, Srimad Bhagavatam states that the entire cosmic manifestation has been an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Lord. Realization of this is possible simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, Omkara. So we want to glorify Omkara so the devotees don't get confused, thinking it's something impersonal, something material. It's actually a very important mantra. So any questions? Yes.
So Omkara is not different from the Hare Krishna mantra, yeah. But many people who chant it, they don't have a lot of power. I mean, they're mindless.
Right.
So for them, are they getting the benefit? Or
there's the Gyatra Sikriti benefit. But they're not able to enter into the spiritual realm because they're not receiving the mantra in disciplic succession. Now, all mantras, of course, where's the statement is, Sampradaya Vinahi Mantras Tenish Palamata, all mantras must be received in disciplic succession. But fortunately for us, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given all the living entities in Kali Yuga the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that is the actual authorized process for us in Kali Yuga. Although chanting Om, if you receive it in disciplic succession, will have spiritual effect.
But not from Shankara.
Not from Shankara. No, one takes an impersonal or improper understanding of the word. Okay, Radhika, look at him.